Thank you, sir. If you have your Bibles this morning, I really want to draw your attention to one word today. We read it, Brother Scott read it, but I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to Lamentation chapter 3. I'm going to read it again. I believe it's used 16, 18 times in the Scriptures. Lamentation chapter 3. I want you to notice verse 17. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. This is Jeremiah, and he's grieving. This is Lamentations 3:17. And I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength, my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction, my misery, the wormwood and the gall. But then notice in verse number 21. But this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Jeremiah said, you know, I'm in the dungeon. I don't have any hope of anything. And then all of a sudden it dawned on him and he said, I recall this about the Lord. I recall this characteristic about the God of heaven. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And here's the key, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. I want you to look at the little word compassion. The original word, both Hebrew and Greek, is that it's something that affects us. Now, you can give mercy without being affected emotionally in your heart. Oh, somebody deserves something. You say, yeah, okay. You don't have to do that. Mercy. But compassion is different. And what I want to appeal to you this morning is that God has compassions for you and I every day. Now, most of the time you do something to gain compassion from somebody. You'll notice, if you would, or they see something in you that causes them to feel sorry for you. There is a compassion. There is a feeling of care. We're going to see it in a few passages this morning. But what Satan's plan is that you would not see the compassion to the Lord for you. You'd be like Jeremiah in the dungeon. Oh, my affliction. Oh, this. Oh, that. But he didn't realize that every morning when he got to thinking about it, he said, I realize now that God's compassions fail not. And that key word is that compassion, his care for us. You can have mercy without love, but you cannot have compassion without love. I mean, you can have compassion for people, but there's got to be a care in your heart a little bit. Now, when you love somebody, you're going to have compassion. True love is built on compassion, really. Or rather, the reverse. Compassion is built on true love. You have a love in your heart for people, compassion hits you. I am, Jeremy and Mandy went on vacation, had a few, they took Micah to college and they left the dog with me. And so the little dog is, I love her, but, you know, I can't be around her a lot because she's always wanting your attention and I can't get anything done. I can't sleep. And so she's just a little dog. Well, there's one thing about her, because I do. She was Susan's dog, and she has a place in my heart because of Susan, and because, you know, she's a good dog. She doesn't know a lot of things. She's just a dog. But boy, I tell you what, when I would get up in the morning and have my devotions, I'd go let her out and early in the morning, and I'd let her out for an hour or so, and I'd go sit down in my chair, and I'd have my devotions, and I'd sit down. And I'd get my Bible, have my Bible out and start to read it, sit down there in my chair. And all of a sudden she'd come up, jump up on it, go over, crawl right there. and just sit there. For the whole hour or so, I had my devotions. However long I sat there. Didn't say a peep. And you know, I hated her, put her up. You know what I'm saying? You got dogs, you got to put them someplace. But I just hated to put her in her little carrying cage. I just hate to put her there. And all of a sudden, compassion hit my heart. I said, well, I can't take her to church with me. And I don't have anything else to do with her. But compassion hit me. If you have the passage that was read to you, I want you to go back and look at it again. This is Matthew chapter 18, and I want you to notice it. Matthew 18. I want you to see this again. This is the king. You'll notice in verse number 23. Therefore, in the kingdom of heaven, likened unto a certain king. So this king is filthy rich. He would have had to have been to grant this kind of compassion. But you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 25, the king, he owed him a debt. Now, I don't know if you realize how much 10,000 talents are, but 10,000 talents of gold was like $10 million. And he's sort of going through and calculating, getting all the people that owe the crown money and saying, okay, you need to pay up. And so this gentleman was a terrible businessman, and somehow he had amassed a massive debt of $10 million. Well, notice verse 26, he said, in verse 25, he said, I want you to be sold, you and your family, for payment. Now, in our day, if you get overextended on your credit card, you can call these companies, and they'll work with a credit card company and try to work out a deal, and that messes up your credit for a while, but you don't have to pay them everything that you owe them. And it wasn't that way in this day. If you owed money, they came and got your firstborn, your secondborn, your wife, you, until the debt was paid. So notice the story, verse 25, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. And it's so much, your wife too, and your children, and all that he had in payment to be made, as much as you can make, whatever kind of payment. Verse 26. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshiped him and said, Lord, have patience with me. I'll pay thee all. Lord, please, don't take my wife. Don't sell my wife. Please, don't sell my children. If you'll just be patient with me, I'll figure out some way. I'll do my best to pay you back. I know I owe the debt. I want to pay you back. And notice what happens. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Now, when compassion hits our heart, it does something to us. It affects us. You ought to have compassion to your wife. It ought to affect you. Honey, can I help do the laundry? Honey, can I help prepare the meal? Honey, can I help? If you're married and you have a husband, it ought to affect you. What can I do, honey? Can I help do something? I mean, you want me to help you pull weeds in the flower bed, honey? You want me to help you? I'll help you wash the car, honey. Can I help you? I'll pay the bills. What can I do to help? I mean, you tell me, what can I do to be a blessing to you? You have a yearning in your heart. It's not just, okay, I'll help this time, but just this once. It's not a mercy. It's not giving someone something they don't deserve. Compassion is more than that. It is whenever they've affected your heart somehow. It's whenever the little dog jumps up and just by her very nature of sweetness and quietness and affects your heart. And you don't want them to hurt. You don't want them to suffer. You don't want them to have grief. You want to be a blessing to them. So compassions affect us. But Satan doesn't want that. Now, he doesn't want you to be affected. He wants you to keep your heart here and give him $20. He wants you to keep your distance so your heart's not in it. He wants you to not be able to pray with your heart in it. He wants you to just say a simple prayer, Lord, bless that person. He doesn't want you to supplicate and say, Lord, you've got to do something for this person. You know, I've noticed a difference. When Susan was dying, It was easy to pray with great compassion. But that when she went to heaven, then all of a sudden, something hit me about all the people that have had cancer in our church. And I realized, look, it could come back. I remember, how many of you remember Mr. King? Jim King. Got brain cancer and was gone within months. I had another one, brain cancer, gone within months. Then I heard that Robin had it. I said, oh, no. It affected me. And somebody's got to pray. Somebody's got to step up and lift her up to the Lord. And then it dawned on me, then Brother Sam came down with cancer. And somebody's got to pray for him. And then, it hit me. Well, I can. So I went through everybody in our church that's had cancer, and I put it on the list. I said, Lord, would you please, every morning, would you please keep cancer away from them for the rest of their lives? Compassions affect us. But Satan doesn't want you to be affected. He wants you to forget about the compassion of the Lord. He wants you to forget about how good God is to us. He wants you to forget about the faithfulness of the Lord to us. Do you understand that we had nothing to offer the Lord, and He had compassion on us? If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 9. I want you to see this passage. Matthew chapter 9. Notice, if you would, in verse number 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So Jesus goes through these villages and He heals everybody that's there. And you'll notice in verse number 36, and then the multitude started thronging, and there were thousands that would come to Him. In verse number 36, and when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted. They were weak. Were scattered abroad. They didn't really have a direction. 36, and as sheep had no shepherd. If you put sheep in a field without a shepherd, they go everywhere. They have to have someone to follow. And Jesus said, I love those people. I see this community of people, this sea of people, and I have compassion on them. So notice what He does. Verse 37. Then saith then to His disciples, He turns to His disciples and He says, the harvest truly is plenteous. Look at all these people out here that don't know how to get to heaven. They don't know about the Lord Jesus. Notice, if you would, in verse number 37. But the laborers are few. There's nobody to lead them. There's no one to preach the gospel to them. There's nobody to tell them of the Messiah that's coming. And notice what He says in verse 38. Pray therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. You know what He's saying? Do something, guys. Now listen, you can be merciful to somebody and just not give them what they deserve. Mercy. But you cannot be compassionate without it affecting your heart, and you got to do something. If you have your Bible, turn it, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. I want you to notice this passage. I want you to notice, if you would. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 10. I apologize, I had the wrong book. Luke chapter 10. I want you to see an example of compassion. Number one, I want you to see that compassion is a characteristic of God. Jeremiah said, the Lord's compassions fail not. So we want to be like the Lord. So I want to encourage you, His compassion toward us allowed Jesus Christ to come and pay our debt of sin. Without His compassion, nobody here would have a chance for heaven. The compassion God provided the gift of eternal life for all of us in this room. The characteristics of God is compassion. But you'll notice it's a, It's also a command of God. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 37. Verse number 36. Now, this is the story of the Good Samaritan. And he tells a story, Jesus does. And then notice in verse 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one of him was the person that made the difference? And notice verse 37, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Now, if you'll notice, look, this is a lawyer speaking. Someone that ticks his words right. Someone that had mercy on them. Notice what he said. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, I want you to see, Jesus didn't use the word mercy. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 33. But when let's go back to verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Speaking of this person that had been, this gentleman that had been robbed and beaten within an inch of his life. And verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he what? Had compassion on it. Now, the lawyer would refuse to use the word compassion. He used the word mercy. Do you understand? It's easy to have mercy, but compassion causes you to do something. It causes you to get involved. It causes you to want to help somebody. Jesus could have had mercy on us and let us die and go to hell. I feel bad for them. But compassion said, I got to do something. I'm going to send my son to pay their debt of sin. And the compassion of God never fail. So we get up in the morning and God says, I have compassion on Dave Pittman. I want to bless him with this and I want to bless him with that. I want to do something for him. And so you'll notice Jesus looks out at the crowd and says, boy, I have compassion on these people. Pray. Now, notice if you would, very quickly, compassion causes something in us. It should. I want you to see several things it causes. Number one, it causes us to see people in need. If you don't have compassion in your heart, if you don't say, Lord, help me to have compassion toward people, you'll never be a good wife. If you don't have compassion, you'll never be a good husband. Because, see, you don't want someone to get what they deserve. You want to help them. You'll never be a good brother or sister without compassion. See, at the end of the message, you'll never be a good teacher without compassion. Something's got to affect you. Now, Satan's plan is, look, come to church, but don't get affected by anything. If you've got to go to church, then go to church, but don't sing with your heart. Don't get affected. I mean, if you've got to go to church, well, go to church, and if Rithia's got cancer, well, just take a minute and say, Lord, bless Rithia. But don't get involved. American Christians, we're good at sending money, but we're not that good at getting involved. Notice what happens. Verse number 34. Right at verse 33, he said, and he had compassion on him and went to him. Notice the second thing he did and bound up his wounds. You know what? He's getting involved. He's doing something to make a difference. Notice not only that, pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast. When you become compassionate, it not only affects your heart, it costs you something. He was willing to walk. He became sacrificial. When you have compassion toward a child, your feeling is, boy, I wish I was sick and not my child. That's compassion. Boy, my sister is struggling with school and English. Boy, I wish I could help her. I wish I could to give her the answers. And so it would cause a brother to sit down and say, hey, sis, come here. Let me help you with that. This is a subject and this is the verb and here's the direct object. Do you understand that? It causes us to want to help. Not everybody's got compassion. And yet every Christian is supposed to have compassion. Every child of God. He looked, you remember, he said to this lawyer, he said, go thou and do likewise. I'm telling you, you have compassion too. Notice what, not only that, look here in verse 34. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence, that's 2 days' wages, and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. To a total stranger. Why? Because he needed it. Are we as a church compassionate? Do we care about each other? Do we care about people? Do we care about somebody that's a total stranger? Folks, that's why when somebody comes in to visit, I want to encourage you to have compassion on somebody. Try to get involved and say, I know, anybody ever gone to a church for the first time? Okay. What happened when you went to the church for the first time? What happened? You go in and sit down? I see people smiling all over. Nobody says much. You know why? Because they see you as a stranger. Well, somebody else will speak to them. By chance, there came down a priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by and passed on the other side. Somebody else could help him. Christians are not that way because our Heavenly Father is not that way. His compassions fail not. His compassions are every morning toward us. I want to bless Dave Pittman this morning. I want to be good to him this morning. It'll change your marriage if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and bring compassion into your heart. But you've got to feel something. And so it's easy to have mercy. Okay, you don't have to do that. A teacher can say to a student that maybe is struggling in mathematics, and she can say, okay, do these extra problems and I'll let you have a C if you'll do these problems and can demonstrate you understand it. I can't give you any better than that, but I'll give you a C. So it's a mercy that you've done. But compassion is, come here, do you not understand? What can I do? Let me see if I can say it another way to you. See if I can help you understand this principle. Compassions move us to do something. It causes every one of us in this room to be like Christ. It changed us. Jesus sees a crowd of people and he says, oh, I have compassion for them. I feel for them. But not only that, notice if you would in this passage here, in verse number 35, he says, and I will repay thee. He was willing to take on this man's debt to take care of him. Now, let's go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. And I want you to see this. Not only does compassion cause us, affect us to where we go where someone is. We get involved with their life. We do our best to help them get out of the predicament they're in. We're willing to sacrifice to help them. He was willing to put him on his own donkey and walk himself. He was willing to spend his own money. That's compassion. That's what it does for you. And notice, if you would, in Matthew chapter 18, and I want to take just a minute. Notice, if you would, verse 26. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. Did you know patience is a part of compassion? You're willing to be gracious to somebody. Wait. And I will pay thee all. Now, this king is not stupid. There's no way you're paying me back $10 million. Notice what happens. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Could I plead with every person in this room to take a little time today and say, Lord, would you move my heart with compassion toward my children so I'd be more patient? Toward my wife so I'd be more patient? Toward my husband? So that it'd be more patient. But notice the next thing he does. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. This king forgives a $10 million debt because the guy got down and thanked him. And it moved his heart. Now, the guy's a shyster. I mean, he goes and cheats the next guy that owes him $15, puts one to put him in prison. So he knew how to plead on somebody. And you know what? It's okay to be taken advantage of every once in a while if you're doing it for Christ's sake. I want you to know something. I don't want to be the pastor that never gets taken advantage of. That never gets talked about. Because you know what? If I do that, I have no compassion. Because I'm trying to protect myself. You know, you get a phone call at 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night. Look, they deserve what they're getting. Pastor, could you help us? I have to remember this. There was one Sunday morning that I had no hope. And I walked down an aisle and I came to Jesus and I said, Lord Jesus, I got nothing to offer. Would you forgive me? And he said, forgive him. Just like this king. And you know, I turn right around and somebody does something to me and I show no compassion. I want to pay them back. I'm driving my car and somebody cuts me off and I'm looking for a police officer. Where are they when you need them? You know, compassions are something that you have to say, Lord, I want you to affect my heart so that I can be good to my wife. No matter what, I can forgive her easily. I can be good to my husband. I can forgive him easily. I can be good to my boss because he needs compassions. Look, all of us need compassions at one point in time. But if you're going to have a relationship that's sweet, you cannot do it without the compassion of God in your heart. You can't be really good at anything without having compassion. You can't be a good brother unless you can feel the pain of your brother. You can't be a good husband or wife without feeling the pain of your mate. Or an employee. Or a teacher. You just can't do it. Now, Satan wants you to come into church and have no compassion toward anybody that's here. How many of you have ever seen somebody come in and they seem like they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders? Raise your hand. Do we do anything about it? Do we have compassion? Do we go up to them and say, I just want you to know, you're important to me. I'm praying for you. You know, I'm healthy. Have no health issues except a weak mind. You didn't have to laugh, Rick. But I tell you what. My wife affected my heart so that I can no longer go to the hospital without feeling for the person in that bed. It affected my heart so that I can feel for people that have cancer even though I don't. It affected my heart so they can feel for a dog. But you know what? That's Jesus. I wish I could say I'm affected regularly in the right way. But every once in a while I get a little coldness. I said, well, they deserve that. Young boy. His mother died. He was going to school, tattered clothes. Didn't have much. Father worked, had no time for the boy. Clothes were not clean. He went to school. The other children sort of poked fun at him, made fun at him. It was teacher day. So all the children are supposed to bring the teacher a gift. He went home and said, I don't have anything for the teacher. Daddy, you know, can we give a gift? I don't have anything. So he went to his mother's jewelry box and found an old necklace, and it had pieces missing out of the necklace. But he said, it was my mom's. So he took it to the teacher the next day. And he wrapped it up best he could, gave it to the teacher. She unwrapped it. And all the kids were laughing at the way it was wrapped, and because they had nice boxes and bows, and his was just a small child's wrapping. But she got it. She realized what was happening, and she had compassion toward him. And she said, oh, look at the way he did it all by himself. Wow. And you could hear the other kids kind of get quiet because their parents did it for them. Oh, wow. And she opened it up and she saw the necklace and she saw it was used. But she saw the look on his face like, is it good enough? And she took it. Oh, it's beautiful. Put it around her neck. Oh, isn't it beautiful? And the children, well, isn't it beautiful? It's you. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, it's beautiful. And that little boy, wow. Because she had compassion on him. And from that day forward, he began to try in school. Because his teacher showed compassion. He was the slowest in class. He didn't get the grades that everybody else did. But from that day forward, when he realized he was worth something, because the compassion of a teacher, he began to do his homework. He began to work hard. His clothes were still ratty and messed up, but he began to come to school, work hard. He graduated from that class, and then he went to the next class, and he would write her back and say, I'm top of my class, Mrs. So-and-so. He graduated first in his class in high school. Went to college, sent her a note. Said, you know, I think I'm going to be a doctor. Graduated from college, first in his class, sent a note to his teacher. The day he graduated from med school, he sent her a note and he said, I don't have anybody to sit with me. Would you come and sit in my mama's place? Because she had compassion. Could I challenge you today? As a child of God, have compassion on people that don't deserve it. Have compassion upon people like Jesus did to you and I. One last thought. You'll take note that you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 20:34, there's a little passage that says, Jesus had compassion on them, two blind men, and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight. You know what happened? They followed him. When Jesus shows compassion to you and I, it ought to cause us to say, I want to go with him. It ought to cause us to want to come to church and say, I want to be like him. Folks, today, the world is looking for people that are like Jesus. Oh, they don't know what they're looking for. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They've faded. But the Lord Jesus says, I'm looking for servants. I'm looking for people to help me. I'm looking for, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. It doesn't always have to be preachers. I want laborers. I want somebody that's willing to get involved. A Samaritan. Someone that's rejected by everybody else because they're half Jew and half something else. And so I'll take anybody. I want you. I love you. So Jesus Christ speaks to Jeremiah in the prison. And he says, look, I got your back. And Jeremiah says, his compassions fail not. Therefore, I have hope. Give somebody hope today. Have compassion. Don't just look in the mirror and say, what's in it for me? If you have compassion, I'll warn you, it will cost you. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you effort. It'll cost you even money. But I can tell you this, it'll make you look like Jesus. You'll have a testimony that brightens heaven as well as people on this earth. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer this morning. Have compassion this morning. Could I challenge you? Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted the compassion of Jesus Christ, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, died for you. The Father sent his son to pay your debt of sin. Maybe you need to come and accept his compassion this morning. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy with me. I can't repay you. And he'll have compassion upon you. And he'll send your sin away. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't have much compassion. I want the Lord to work in my heart. I don't show much compassion toward my husband or toward my wife or toward my brother or toward my sister or toward another church member, but I want compassion. Could I encourage you maybe to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, touch my heart. Give me more compassion. Lord Jesus, help us to be like you. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. Lord, compassion can be gained with a tender heart. And I pray that you'd help us to lean toward you. We have to see people in their need and do something about it. Lord, give us as your children at Temple Baptist Church the compassion of God, that which you have. In your name we pray. Amen.